Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Jisoo Kyi. Thanks so much for staying with us throughout your day right here on WGN Radio. We've got an exciting show to get you through hump day today. Yep, you're almost there. It's just down from here, everybody. We've got Terry Savage, of course. She's an expert on personal finance, the economy, and markets. But I wanted to go ahead and give you our number and our text line as well, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, because she will be talking about a new W-4 form that the federal government is rolling out in 2020. And it is going to be longer and more complicated. Of course, the goal is to make sure that withholdings are more accurate, but she'll have a lot more information. And I'm sure you're going to have a lot of questions about that. So be sure to text us and call us as well. 312-981-7200 with Terry Savage. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Hi, G. We're having a good day. All the news is good.
Fantastic. Bye. You want to fill us in a little bit on the markets. And then, of course, you've got some good news about home builder confidence as well.
You know, we're having a lot of great year-end news. So let's just take us back a year, because as we approached the holidays last year, the stock market was falling. There were fears of recession. The economy was slowing. The Fed was raising rates. Now we have the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ hit record highs. The Dow, I don't want to be Pollyanna here. In fact, the point is, there is so much good news, you got to think twice about it. The Dow is up 15 points today, 15 and a half to 28,282, just within spitting distance of its all-time high. Fannie Mae came out with a rosy projection for home builders and home building activity next year. And when people are confident enough to buy homes and rates are low, after they buy homes, they go out and shop and they do all kinds of projects. So that bodes well. And so everybody's thinking, and the holiday shopping seems to be going well, and the job numbers are okay. And some say it's just a truce in the trade deal, not really a victory for any side. We're not having a trade war at this moment. So everything looks good, and this is the end of the year, and everybody does not want to hear me say what I'm about to say, which is,
oh no,
hey, wait. Perfect time. It's next week's column, which I just finished writing. It's on my mind. Everything is slow. All the traders, the fund managers are happy.
Mm-hmm.
Please go look inside your 401k. You've got great profits. Not because you're a genius. The market's at an all-time high. Now think twice about what's the greatest fear. That you take some money out and be conservative with it, not out of your 401k, but put it in the safer investments, and then you miss some more upside, or B, that we eventually get a bear market sooner rather than later, and you lose 10, 20, 30%. So these are the quiet times when you don't want to think about the downside, that you have the opportunity to do some serious planning, not emotional planning, but some serious thought.
But this is some wise advice, despite all of the good news that the markets are going to be looking great in 2020, even.
Exactly. The Fed says it's on hold. Consumers say they're doing well. Leaving Washington politics aside, trade seems to maybe not be a problem. The economy's growing. There are plenty of jobs. The market's at all-time highs. Oh, my God, that gets me worried.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? You're the one that's supposed to keep us on our toes because you're the expert. And, of course, you said the housing forecast is strong because of the strong labor market, robust consumer spending, and also low mortgage rates. But despite all of that, we still need to be prepared for the future.
That's the thing. You just don't want to get lulled into complacency because if something happens and you say, you know, I just looked at this 3 weeks ago when everything was great, the world hasn't changed that badly, why is the market going down? I've got 20 years till I think about retiring. Oh, I'm so sorry to see myself losing money in my 401k, but you know what? It's the long run. Then you're very comfortable riding it out.
Well,
I remember that from 2008. I remember sitting there saying to people and not doing a thing myself because I had thought about that. And I thought, America's not ending. I can ride this out. But if you don't know, and if you're really worried and retirement was going to be next year and the market's going down, that's when you panic and make mistakes.
Well, always great advice with Terry Savage, who's going to be sticking with us and giving us some valuable information on a new W-4 form that's coming out in 2020. So be sure to call in and text in 312-981-7200. Okay, we're joined again by, Terry Savage. Of course, she has a wonderful personal finance column that's syndicated by the Tribune Content Agency all over the country. And she's an expert on personal finance and the economy and the markets. And she's going to be telling us about a new W-4 form that the federal government is rolling out in 2020. Why are they doing this, and is it going to make our lives easier, Terry?
You know that great line, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you? That's what this falls under. The full column is up at terrysavage.com. But, you know, we never think about W-4 forms. We're not talking about your W-2. We're not talking about your 1099. The W-4 form is a form you fill out when you join the company. And it says, I have this many dependents, and the company decides how much in income taxes to withhold. And you can manipulate that. So you say, well, I don't have so many dependents. You better take a lot of money out. I won't have deductions. And then a lot of people do that and say, oh, great, I'm going to get a big refund when I actually file my taxes and I list the fact that I can deduct my kids. And so then they get a refund. They're giving the government an interest-free loan, but they think that's great. Last year, when they changed the tax laws, they adjusted withholding, and a lot of people were shocked at the lower rates that they weren't going to get a refund in April. And it was a big story last April.
Right.
Oh, you're not getting a refund. Mm-hmm. How are you going to pay off this money, your leftover Christmas bills and so forth? So the government decided it should make withholding easier for the government,
but,
for your boss,
and
supposedly for you.
But
and
not
it's
really.
No longer, since you don't have allowances for your kids, you have a standard deduction. They created this form. It's the new W-4 form. It comes with 2 pages of instructions and a worksheet and an app. Now, you don't have to fill this out unless, A, you've changed jobs. If you get a new job, they're going to give you the new form. If you want to fill it out because you know you have a new baby or you got divorced and your status as married, filing jointly may have changed, you'll fill out the new form. And it is designed not only, by the way, to adjust the withholding on your salary. That would be one thing. But the government said it's going to make it easier for you to pay all kinds of taxes so that there's a place on there that asks you to put in income from your side job. You're a freelancer. Well, you want to hand that to the company and say, by the way, I earned $15,000 this year freelancing as a something. Or your spouse's income that isn't taxed, maybe she has a little business, maybe she's got a trust fund and gets interest and income from it. This form is designed to capture all your income, but who wants your boss to have it?
I definitely don't want my boss to know.
Exactly how to go about filling this out and avoiding that. By the way, of course, if you don't put all that and have it taken out of your paycheck, have the withholding for all that income taken out, then you must file quarterly. And there's some rules around that. I talk about it in the column. But if you really want all your withholding taken care of easily by your boss, who will then see, by the way, all your additional untaxed income that you or your spouse might earn if you're filing jointly, you can use the new W-4 form. It's going to be very controversial, and so take a look at the column. It's enough detail for that, but it's coming.
Right. It's pretty complicated. You said even in the column that you may feel as though it's as complicated as actually filing your tax return because there are 4 steps within the W-4 form.
Exactly. You can still give it to your boss and say, here's my name. I'm married, filing jointly. You know my salary. I'm signing it. And then the boss can only fill out the withholding based on that information. It's very simple, but you may be under withheld and face a penalty or over withheld and get a refund. But if you want the withholding to be more accurate and you know the government wants its money when it wants its money, then you fill out this longer form. It's just like having to do your taxes in advance and with some estimates. So be aware of that. That's all. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
We'll talk about taxes in April. I hate taxes.
Now, is there a place where people can go and preview this form or just get an idea of what it looks like?
Yes, you can go and follow the link in my column at terrysavage.com, and you can see where this new W-4 form and the website where you can fill it out. It's irs.gov/W4APP, W4APP. So irs.gov/W4APP. And you can just, if that's what turns you on over the holidays, go figure out your W4 form.
Well, now, Terry, what's your final word on this new W4 form? Do you think it's too invasive?
I am a privacy person. I always have been. I let Facebook and Google follow me around because I want to know how to get places, and I'm not surprised when I'm in the middle of researching an economic topic and an ad from Wayfair pops up because I'm always on Wayfair, for example. So I've learned to be a little more patient with privacy invasions, but I really would never want my boss to know my total income. So I would not fill out the long form. I would make sure, however, that I have good tax advice and make sure that you pay in at least 90% of the 100% of your tax liability from last year or 90% of your current liability, then you won't get a penalty. But that's something you file quarterly, not on your W-4 form.
Right. For me, if I'm working a side gig, I don't want my boss to know that I'm making more money because then it negates my ability to negotiate when I want to talk about a raise, right?
You nailed it. That's exactly the point of this. It's a very invasive form if you fill it out and it's complete. And they're going to tell you you have to do it, but you don't have to put all that in. But nobody's going to tell you that, so here I am to tell you that.
Well, we have a couple of minutes left. If you're listening right now and you have a question for Terry Savage, of course, she has all the answers. Our number is 312-981-7200. Terry, as we approach the end of the year, what else do you want to make sure that listeners are paying attention to?
Well, that's next week's column, which I just finished turning in. But I think the biggest part of that is to look again at where you stand. It's so easy to just coast into the new year. So be sure to look at your 401k account, not just the bottom line. Gee, you know, I talk to people all the time. Are you contributing your 401k? I really am. Are you getting the match? You're contributing enough to get the complete full match from your employer? I don't know. I think they match some. So the next thing is, how much of your contribution is matched? If it's 50 cents on the dollar, that's like me giving you a stock that's going up 50% overnight. You would certainly invest in it. So don't miss out on the free money. It's a little late to ask for a catch-up contribution for the last paycheck this year, but you could raise your contribution to your 401k for next year to make sure you're completing getting that full match. And then look at what's inside there. People say to me, well, I'm in it. I'm in the stock market. Well, which funds? Well, I don't know. So that's something to look at, too. Come on. You pay more attention to what's on Netflix and Amazon Prime and whether you're getting free shipping and so forth than you do to your entire retirement future. This is a moment to think about it.
It's so true because we just need an escape from life. So Netflix does that a little easier than thinking about our future. But we should be thinking about our future and our retirement and our money.
You're not escaping from old age. I mean, I hope you're not because that's a bad alternative. So the whole idea is to grow older with financial confidence and the most valuable asset. So I suspect that I know I hear from a lot of you. You go to terrysavage.com and post questions. I suspect that a lot of our listeners are really more sophisticated than average, maybe even a little older than average because they care about their money and they're willing to spend a little time thinking about it. So here's my challenge to you over the holidays. Grab a child, grab a grandchild. No, they don't want to talk about it. Grab a millennial. Explain to them that time is money and that you would trade money today if you only had time to put the knowledge of how valuable time is to work for you, a little bit of money on a regular basis, taken out automatically, invested, diversified in your 401k, is the best chance you have at enjoying the rest of your life.
Well, Terry Savage, thank you so much. TerrySavage.com. We actually ran out of time for a caller that just called, but we were going to send them to your website so for all of that valuable information.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Talk next week.
Wintrust Business Lunch, and we have Klaus Schuler here. He's the executive director of Chicago's executive director of Teatro Zenzani. Welcome, Klaus. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, tell folks folks what Teatro Zinzani is to start off with.
I always say Teatro Zinzani is a big night out. You go out to this incredibly luxurious and elegant place, you have a four-course dinner, you watch this incredible show full of cirque and magic and comedy and live music. It's really an experience like no other.
I cannot describe how much I love this show. I have gone to see it twice. It is great for all ages. It is just fantastic. I love it.
That's not uncommon to hear, actually. When people leave, sometimes when people walk in, they're not sure what they're going to get. But when they leave, it's always, oh my gosh, that was an incredible afternoon or evening.
Because it's a combination of, there's aerialists, there's acrobatics, there's it's cabaret, there's live music, there's comedy, there's magic.
Yeah, I mean, it's an old-fashioned European variety show.
And this started where?
This started in Seattle as an offshoot of the Bumbershoot Festival, which our founder, Norm Langell, was part of the creation of that festival. And originally it was supposed to be like a 10-week tryout of this concept of bringing this historic tent to Seattle and seeing if people would enjoy a Cirque variety show. And 20 years later, here we are in Chicago.
And why did Chicago look like the perfect place for you to expand?
Well, Chicago is a great cosmopolitan international city, but also our founder is from the Midwest. He always loved to go to the theater in Chicago. He felt his Chicago was sort of his theatrical home as he was coming up in the business, and he always aspired to have a location here, and a lot of people shared that vision, so here we are.
Now, it is a feast for your palate because you are going to have a wonderful meal while you're there, but it's also a feast visually, and part of that, the foundation of that, is this Spiegel tent, Zazu.
Yes, that we brought over in 4,000 pieces from Belgium on two shipping containers, somehow got it up to the 14th floor and reassembled it there, and it's historic. Parts of it are as much as 100 years old, even though the structure renews over time, and it's really a lavish, lush, old world kind of an environment that we've created up there in that space.
And that is a huge tent where the entire performance and all the dining tables are situated.
Exactly. It's like a circus tent, except way more posh.
What's the reaction been?
The reaction has been fantastic, not just in terms of critical reviews or audience reviews, but honestly, people feel like they've been at the most wonderful party. So afterwards, you see them talking to the actors afterwards, and they're just gushing because they've had such a convivial, warm, community kind of an experience.
So let's go back a little bit. You decide you're going to bring it to Chicago, but then you've got to find the perfect location. And there was this forgotten space in the heart of the theater district that people didn't know about.
Yeah, I mean, the space had been a theater or at least a lecture hall back in the 1920s and 30s, but for 75 or more years, it had been a Cook County family court's office with an 8-foot drop ceiling. So when the Cambria Group bought the hotel, they were renovating and they were going to put hotel rooms on the 14th floor. They tore the drop ceiling down, looked up, and there were three more floors of space above their heads from this original auditorium. So this space was perfectly suited and really unique in being able to accommodate what Teatro Zinzani does.
So did the uniqueness of the space add to the business plan and the business model?
Yeah, well, it was essential to the business model, right? We had been looking for a home in Chicago for quite some time, nearly 10 years, and a number of ideas were mooted, everything from Motor Row to a bunch of other locations, but having a place that could really accommodate this huge tent indoors, because usually these are placed outdoors, and you can't really do that year-round in Chicago. So finding a space that was large enough for that to occur and, you know, where we could make a good real estate deal and find an ownership group that was interested in having a strong cultural component, this was the right match. So everything came together to make that possible.
And I'm hearing that this is a very long-term commitment.
Yes, 20-year lease with a 20-year renewal. So we'd love to be here 40 years or more.
So how often is the show going to change?
The show changes entirely twice a year, but there are also incremental changes along the way. It is a variety show, so based on the availability of premium acts, because these are really premium performers from all over the world. For example, our current singer is a soul singer in her own right. Liv Warfield is fantastic. You know, we have her for a short time, so rush over and see her because she's phenomenal. And then someone will come in next, and then every, like I said, twice a year, the entire show will change.
So you're not just looking for tourist dollars here. You're really looking for local dollars for folks coming back and returning to see the new iteration of the show.
You're absolutely right. It's key to the business plan, and it's not unrealistic because once people have seen the show, they absolutely do want to come back.
Like me.
Exactly. And we want Chicago, and Chicagoans go to the theater. I mean, my history before Teatro Sanzani was with the Second City, and Second City couldn't survive unless Chicago embraced it and came back again and again and again. And it's very similar with Teatro Sanzani.
So this is big business. This is big dollars.
It's a big investment.
Absolutely. And the forecast looks good for you guys.
It has been a story of growth thus far. And if hopefully it will continue to be. That's what everyone wishes. All theatrical and restaurant concepts are inherently risky. This one has a big leg up because it's such a fabulous experience and has such a strong visual and, you know, comedic element. But it's always a risk. And so far, the news has been good.
And having a foothold in the Chicago Theater District, what does that mean?
That's very important as well. I mean, we're partnered with Broadway in Chicago for our marketing and our group sales, and having that strong Chicago theater district to support us is excellent.
Your favorite thing about the show?
Watching the audience. My whole career, I've loved watching audiences, and they just seeing the delight in their faces. That's the best part.
And also, I'm sure it's great that you're profitable.
Yeah, absolutely. In business, that never hurts.
And where can people go to find out more information?
Go to Zanzani.com or BroadwayInChicago.com. Well, we'd love to have you in. We have a big New Year's Eve extravaganza coming up, so join us.
And we're sorry that producer Stan Feig is sick today, and we hope he feels better. And we thank you so much. This is Chicago's executive director of Teatro Sanzani, Klaus Schuler. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Here.
Truly wonderful to have you in studio. Time now to check in with Frank Sennett from Cranes. And Frank, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic, sir. You know what? Let's start with this move to delay the Chicago weed sales. This is actually something that Steve Bertrand mentioned in his news report. But fill us in a little bit more, especially on what Alderman Jason Irvin is wanting.
Well, we are actually right about, City Council is about to have the roll call vote. Yes, if they vote yes, that means the weed sales will be delayed. And no means the item fails. So probably, you know, during this segment or within the next few minutes, we'll know if this goes forward or not. And basically, the proposal is to delay the start of legal marijuana sales in Chicago in order to create some more equity in terms of the makeup of the owners and operators of these facilities. It's right. Been you know, majority white owned businesses, and wants to get some minority owned businesses in the industry.
They're doing the roll call. Yeah. You can listen to the roll call underneath here.
Alderman Curtis.
So I'll let you know how it turns out.
Alderman O'Shea.
Oh, fantastic. Definitely. So I love that we're distracting you from this, but Steve Bertrand is on it, so you're going to be okay, Frank. So this is part of Alderman Irvin is part of the 20-member Chicago Aldermanic Black Caucus. I know that you went over some of it, that they wanted to make sure that this is equitable to all communities, but what are some other concerns?
Alderman Brendan Riley is also is an opponent of pausing the sales. He said that the ordinance is vaguely worded, but Irvin says the medical dispensaries already licensed would still be allowed to operate, but just wanted to keep the new ones until there can be some more equity in the ownership. They also asked the current 11 cannabis owners face stronger scrutiny and penalties if they do not meet the required social equity guidelines in this proposed ordinance.
And what's the governor's office saying, and what's the mayor saying?
Well, Mayor Lightfoot is very much opposed to the delay. She said the consequences would include fueling illegal sales, placing the start of a new industry, pausing the start of a new industry at the time when our full public safety resources must be dedicated to combating summer violence, and stripping money from the social equity funds intended to benefit Black and Brown entrepreneurs. So that was a quote from the mayor. And, you know, the governor would like to move forward as well.
Well, Steve Bertrand has an eye on this vote. I'm going to... Oh, do you have something, Steve?
19-29.
The motion was just defeated, 19-29.
Madam President, motion to reconsider that vote.
All those in favor.
So that means that recreational marijuana sales will commence in Chicago January 1st, unless there's some more dramatic development.
Frank, you've been to these meetings. It seems that's the case, but they have been back and forth voting on so many different things. But yes, that does seem to be the case, that it will be allowed January 1st.
Smoke them if you got them come January 1st.
Well, there we go. Wow. Thanks so much, Steve. Frank, let's move on a little bit to your list of the most powerful Chicagoans right now. Any surprises on this list?
Yeah, so for the first time ever, we've got a brand new book of lists we've redesigned as The Book. It's out now, and to kick that off, we're launching a new annual list called the Power 25. And so, you know, people you would expect are on there. J.B. Pritzker is number one, Lori Lightfoot number two, so the governor and the mayor. You've got big business leaders. You've got, political leaders downstate. Ken Griffin, Mike Madigan. You got Tony Preckwinkle, but there are some surprises on here. If you go down the list, you will see, for instance, Chance the Rapper is on the Power 25. He is noted for representing the city faithfully as one of Chicago's top cultural exports, and he's got a new album. He's been hosting Saturday Night Live, continuing to support CPS, Chicago Public Schools, and the CTU on their strike. So he's been, active in the politics of that, as well as a cultural export. So there's one surprise. Jeannie Gang, the architect, is also on the list. A couple of religious leaders, Otis Moss of Trinity United Church of Christ, and Blaise Kupich, Cardinal, Archdiocese of Chicago, of course. And, it's a pretty good media list. We'll be updating every year because, boy, the power rises and falls in this city, doesn't it?
I want to know how this determination happens. How many people are in a room at Crane's? And then do you have some sort of algorithm in which you add points and subtract points? How do you figure out who is the most powerful?
Yeah, so in terms of how the sausage is made in the smoke-filled room, a proverbial smoke-filled room, it is not algorithm-based. It is not a scientific method. It is bringing to bear all of the coverage experience of our newsroom, which is one of the most expert in the city, and our editorial leadership kind of looking at, in the past year, in the past several years, who has made the biggest impact in the city. So it is a subjective list driven by the, I think, pretty astute judgments of the folks in our newsroom.
Would you say that if you aren't necessarily somebody with a lot of monetary or political power and you're somebody coming from the arts, you mentioned Chance mm-hmm. the Rapper, architect Jenny Gang. Do you have to be exponentially better in your field in order to make the list?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think you really have to be to kind of break into a list that talks more about, the power to move the city, the power to affect change in the city. If you're on the cultural front, you do really have to have kind of an outsized presence, I think, to break through on a list like that. I think that's a very fair point.
And who are you looking forward to watching the most this coming year?
Oh, of all the people on our power list?
Yeah, in terms of the power players, who are you personally interested
in? Yeah, we're still pretty much in the early days of Mayor Lightfoot, and she just got a big victory, it looks like, in the city council today.
Absolutely.
Her story continues to unfold. I am fascinated by how she has emerged and is running the city, and so I think for my money, that's the person I would watch the most closely over the next year. And of course, Mike Madigan, there's all sorts of investigations and stuff swirling around Springfield, swirling around Chicago. How is he going to emerge from all of this? I think those are two really, really big power stories to watch over the next year.
So you just mentioned the mayor's win in terms of not delaying the Chicago weed sales. Anything else that the Chicago Aldermanic Black Caucus can do at this point now?
Well, I think that they can now, once the launch happens, they can introduce ordinances to create more equity in the in the issuance of new licenses and also, you know, equity requirements for current providers. And I think there might be much more of a receptive response to, you know, making tweaks after launch rather than delaying the launch to, you know, to remake it. So it's not necessarily the equity provisions that were controversial. It was really the pausing of the start. So I think they may have a lot more success down the line.
Okay, got it. Anything else we need to look for? Do you actually get to have a break over the holiday?
Yeah, I'm going to take a little break. How about you?
No, I'm going to be here. So you're welcome to join me if you have some free time and want to escape the family and the holiday celebration.
Okay, well, yeah. No, I'm just going to stay home and have my 7-month-old is going to have his first Christmas.
Aww.
And my 15-year-old and 8-year-old are going to have fun with him. And I think we're just going to have a really nice family Christmas.
Fantastic. All the age ranges there. Thank you so much, Frank Sennett from Cranes Chicago. Really appreciate it.